Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
And welcome back to Strength to Be Human podcast. This is Mark Anthony Rossi, your host. I have another fascinating and extremely interesting guest, Hugh Cook. He's still, I know you're going to find this incredible, still a college student and wrote an incredible poetry book, The Day It Became a Circle, over at Afterworld Books. I'm very fascinated with this fellow and his book and the travel and what he did to get there to create it. It's one heck of a story, and it's also a creative inspiration for all of us. Hugh, thank you very much for being on the show.
Mark, thank you for having me. I'm very glad to be here, and I'm excited to talk about my travel. You know, this book really came out of the fact that I found traveling to be one of the few things in life that is truly worth our time and is immensely satisfying and offers, you know, the ultimate inspiration and creativity. The first place I traveled to out of this country was El Salvador. And in El Salvador, I found viewpoints that were far beyond what I was used to. You know, I found such an interesting point of view when I was talking to this one man. And he had worked actually with the CIA. And he had served in his country is revolution. He served with the Air Force and then worked with the CIA. And I was talking about how Che Guevara would carry Neruda's poetry with him. But he, you know, let me know that Che Guevara also wore a Rolex. And that was so interesting to me. So it showed me that the world is more complex than we think it is.
Wow, that's basically amazing. Especially younger people. They might not have captured some of your mature insight, and they might think the most interesting things is video games or, you know, going to keg parties and all that sort of stuff. So it's very hopeful for all of us to hear some of the young starting out doing something interesting and adventurous.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. I think, you know, the best part about travel was experiencing things that I had never experienced before. You can see a keg, you can go to any keg party, but seeing things that you're not used to, being in places that you don't know anything about, really being challenged, human being, to find place for yourself, that is something that is important in life. And that is something that helps you grow as a person. And this is what I found traveling offered me, was a pathway to find the most real parts of myself. You know, when you're traveling, you're in places where you don't know the language, you don't know the local place, but you have to make friends, you meet amazing people, you're open to a variety of experiences. And, you know, everything from the advertising that you see around you to the food that you eat to the art that you encounter is new and helps you build and grow as a person.
I totally agree.
For example, the Mona Lisa. Sorry?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's absolutely amazing to have that experience. And I'm so glad that I did. And it really formed this book because I realized that, you know, when we're traveling, we are living in a certain way. And this way of living where we're searching only for the things that bring us happiness, that bring us creativity, that allow us to express ourselves and become fully human. This was a way of living that I wanted to continue even once I came home, even once I wasn't out of my comfort zone, even when I was back with the people I loved. I wanted to show them that having this open mindset to experiences and opportunities is something that is a lifestyle and is so worth just living by.
Well, I know from my own personal experience, I've traveled around the world in the military and the government, 32 countries. So I know how much it changes who you are and how you view the people out there, how you even sometimes how you even view your own country for the good and for the bad.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing, because sometimes you can appreciate more about where you come from when you spend some time somewhere else.
I certainly felt that. You know, it was interesting how much I was able to reflect on my own life and reflect on who I was as a person when I left everything that I knew. We think of home as something that is the place where we are ourselves, but our personality stripped down to its most genuine pieces when we're not at home. And it led to a much greater appreciation for everything I have when I return home. And I really hope that my book conveys this experience of finding myself and finding myself through this process of taking away pieces of, you know, my personality. Until I was left, I really enjoyed the things that I needed as a human being, having those, you know, known to me when I came back home.
Well, I love the book. I read it twice, and even after I read the review that someone did, a lengthy review on it, I literally found more things in the review. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't catch that. I didn't think about that. So that's what's great about the book, is that you have some levels there. Sometimes the better writers will have more than just what can be read on the surface. Sometimes you can go deeper in it, and some of your poems really allow for that. And that in itself is pretty extraordinary, because it's not like you've done like 20 books. This is really the real first book for you. So it's one hell of a start.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I appreciate that. That means a lot, especially from you as an established writer. And I'm very glad that this book was able to convey this complex set of experiences and this personal growth that I went through. And I was so lucky to have had that. One piece of this that is particularly interesting to me was finding that when I was separated from my family, you know, I was learning a lot about myself, and you know, there's a lot in the book that talks about maybe some problems with my family and, you know, the difficulty that goes along with, I have depression and things like that. And when I was traveling, I found that a lot of these worries were wiped away because the present moment was strengthened in my view. I was able to focus on things I had never seen before. I was able to make connections with art and people in brand new ways. And that is so exciting.
That's really what I love about
incredibly interesting.
That's what I love about the book, especially because you come across a subject that lots of people do not talk about, because they don't really understand that any kind of travel, what happens is that you learn more about yourself, mainly because sometimes the information about yourself is coming through the eyes of friends and family, and it doesn't mean they're bad. But they're giving you a perception. It might not be true. They could be totally inaccurate about how they view you. And then you incorporate that in yourself and you're like, really? But when you travel, those people are not around anymore. And then maybe you might see yourself to where who you really are and what you really can become. Because in the presence of strangers, you got nothing to lean on anymore.
Exactly. That was so important to me, was that I had left my family. I had left my friends, and I was just wandering around the world, exploring everything that I could. I was talking to amazing people. I met a friend in Germany, and you know, together we explored Hamburg. We went to various museums and saw amazing things, all from this, you know, moment of contact, sharing humanity on a train. And I found myself being more genuine with this person that I had met halfway around the world than I was with a lot of my friends at the time. And that was really revolutionary for me to realize that this way we try to perform, you know, at home, this need to be someone or something, the ways we develop identity are completely erased once we have the freedom to be in a new place, to be traveling. We really have the time to be ourselves. I think that's so important.
It really is. There's a certain power. Yeah, there's a kind of power in that freedom as well. But also, there's a true release because sometimes, you know, even as adults, don't get me wrong, that's why sometimes travel is good for adults too, to clear their mind and clear their perspectives. But oftentimes, when we're around people, we are often then associating with people that often agree with us or in our lifestyle or in our politics or in our religion or even the ones that reflect some of the family connections and values that are happening. And I'm not saying those are necessarily wrong, but like anything else, too much of a good thing becomes bad. If you're not going outside those orbits every so often, you really start losing some of the things that are happening around the world.
Exactly. You need to be challenged. You need to be shown things that are scary, things that are new, things that push you out of your comfort zone into finding a way to connect with it. And, you know, if you're stuck with the same people doing the same things, you might be very happy, but you also might be missing out on things that will make you even happier, on things that will broaden your mind and your ability to write or work as an artist, but also live as a human being in a world where, you know, we're told that we're connected, we're told that we're really genuinely able to have more interactions with human beings. But I noticed that screens themselves were superfluous to my happiness when I was traveling, because I was spending so much time doing real things, living in that world, you know, whether I was swimming in Oslo or going to a museum, I didn't need a screen. And I think that millennials should travel more, you know, specifically to experience the freedom from screens. I think that's really important.
I completely agree with you. I wish we had somebody out there that would fund like a project that people can apply and it can go out there and do things. I don't mean necessarily like a Peace Corps thing, even though that's not really a bad way of going about things too, but necessarily the Peace Corps, you just go to one place. You don't really go to lots of places. But maybe something that, like a program trip where somebody gets a couple of weeks or a month or something, and they just go out there and they do these different things to experience more about life and the world. And I really think a lot of that would change people in the sense that they see that there's something more beyond their confines, and that there are people who believe other things and why they believe other things. And then also, it's another way for you to learn about yourself that you might not be able to learn about yourself so easily. I'm always shocked how people come out of college, they cling to some company, and then they're out there dating somebody. And then, you know, let's say in this particular case, the girl will say, you know, as much as he's done, he doesn't seem to be that mature still. He doesn't seem to be anything more than a kid.
Yeah.
What a degree and a cool car and a cool phone. I don't know how much progress that really is in the end.
Right.
If you're still a 16-year-old, it's just that now you have a suit and a degree. You're not really coming too far.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, this might be a good time to read a poem from Home Part 1. You know, and this sort of is an exploration of these things that are, you know, part of childhood and that don't really grow beyond it, but it's still a worthwhile poem.
Yes, this is
about
this
surfing.
This is about the chapter that's inside the book, The Day It Became a Circle.
That's right. So this is from the first part where I'm still at home. I haven't traveled yet. This poem is called Her Eyes and Her Sea, and it's about surfing and seeing a woman and having a really an experience of connection. Her eyes and her sea. Waves lighten men to churning children. When we see a white sash sliding over silk, pearls explode down the stairway. rising with the wide curls and seagrass, her resting eyes scoured, each one a puzzle with a piece missing. And pouring through these holes was milk light. I want these eyes to see more than me, to come and curl up in my pupils. And, you know, that's just an experience that's stuck in my home, in my experience of home. You know, I know that surfing is something that is not shared by many people. But I think that for a lot of young men, you know, the experience of trying to find somebody is a lot of wasted time if you don't know yourself. If you haven't spent time getting to know yourself, you have no idea what you're looking for when meeting other people, you know, and like you said, when finding a job. You know, if you're still just looking for a car and a nice watch, you don't really know what you want, in my opinion.
Man, it's true. It's and, one, it's one of the really lessons of life, and you've learned it earlier already.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm incredibly lucky to have learned that. And, you know, I think I would rather spend money on, you know, more traveling than a watch any day of the week. I was surprised by how many fellow travelers my age I met that were interested in, you know, when we were in Paris, they wanted to leave a Dali gallery to go to a Supreme store. Supreme is a very popular brand, but I was so shocked that people could casually walk away from, you know, such ingenious and such era-defining art to go buy some clothes that would maybe satisfy them for an hour. And after that, I don't know how lasting that art, that memory of that clothing will be. But, you know, the time you spend looking at the sketches of Dali, he had some of the most amazing things I saw were Dali's sketches in his notebook. And he was doing surrealist erotic sketches. And he was exploring in these sketches ideas about gender and sexuality that, you know, only now in the 21st century are we able to put words to. But his ability with his pen, his drawing was so unique that, you know, these sketches have this unique capacity to explore the ideas that are now becoming such important ideas and revolutions.
Well, I love what you're saying about this, because it all rings true to me in my own experiences. I've been to Paris a number of times, and I love the city. And sometimes the people can be rough, because the French are not always the easiest to get along with. But
yeah,
nevertheless, what they have there in terms of art, especially, it's very hard to find anywhere else in the world. And I love Rome because I'm an Italian person, but when it comes to just the oil paintings, when it comes to just art in general, some of the greatest assembled is going to be in Paris. You're just not going to find too many other places, even in America. So to go there and to see that in person is a breathtaking experience. So all the other stuff you can still do. No one says you can't go and have some commercial fun there.
But yeah.
Put it in priority to be there for what the grandeur of the city is, because it's not like you might be able to get to go there again anytime soon. And I was there seven. Absolutely. I was there seven times, and I completely loved it, and I always made the most of it, and I even did some writing in there as well, and which was always fun to do.
Yes.
And I wrote some poetry right under Notre Dame, so it was just great to do.
Exactly.
And I really, really appreciated everything that was going on over there. Even as somebody who was young, I might have even been around your age or possibly a little younger when I spend a lot of time there. But it will, beyond the tourist traps of it all, it will transform you if you let it.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing, is when you're traveling, you have to allow yourself to be changed by the things you're seeing. I was amazed at the difference after, you know, a week of being out of my country, how open I was to new ideas, to new experiences. You have to spend enough time in these situations in which you're out of your comfort zone, in which your ideas are being challenged, to really be ready for a new experience. And to touch on what you said about Paris and France, I remember, you know, three men across the street yelling, "Are you American?" And I didn't think very much. I just said, "Yeah, I'm American." And they rushed up around me and they kind of wanted to question me about what was going on with Trump. And I basically just said, "Well, actually, I'm more interested in the environment and the, you know, art and exploring what's around me." And then they were completely friendly. You know, that was such a wild experience to see humans do a total 180 when I told them that I wasn't interested in talking about, you know, politics. I was here to see things.
It's not well known,
and to learn.
You know, it's not really well known to people who don't do enough travel, and although they might suspect it now and then. But as much as we have stereotypes about people out there in the world, and that don't necessarily mean negative ones, but just stereotypes in general, people do have of us, and I've encountered a lot of good and bad situations.
Yes.
Because of that, and you have to learn to react to
yeah.
that more now probably than when I was out there, because now you have to deal with the question of security, and, you know, sometimes when somebody asks you if you're an American, it might not be the best person to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. You know, I was amazed at how many preconceived notions people had of Americans, but I also found that once they got beyond those preconceived notions, you know, the humanity that I was discovering in myself was very prominent and let me break down the barriers that they were perceiving in me, you know, for no other reason than the fact that I happen to have a passport with, you know, a certain country's flag on it.
Right.
Once I was able to talk to them and get to be a human being with them, you know, the sort of barriers that we see and imagine between people really fell apart. And that was an incredibly rewarding experience to find myself face to face with people who understood that there was so much more to the world than the news that we see every day.
And you're entirely correct on that. And I always counsel people, especially before they go traveling. A lot of times people talk to me and ask questions or advice because I've been to so many places. And I always remind them, it truly is a two-way street. So don't think it's not. Don't think you're going
yeah.
over there because you want to knock down the barriers of what you perceive. Sometimes you're going to help people knock down their own barriers about how they perceive you. And that's just as important.
Exactly.
If you recognize, without sounding like you're a member of the State Department, but if you recognize that in a way you're sort of a mini ambassador, you know, from our country, you do have at least some kind of responsibility to not act like a total moron, because sometimes that's all they remember. And then you wonder why they have such a negative view when they're like, yeah, the last 10 Americans I spoke with and all they talked about was TV shows and sex. And I'm like, is there anything more to your country than that? And then you have to wonder why they look at you strangely. So you have to also remember that you might be not only learning about them, but they might be for the first time learning about us, because the 15 people before you might have screwed it up, and now you're number 16. You might have a chance to straighten out our image. Please help.
Yeah. You know, and that is an amazing experience to have. It's so interesting, I think, especially for me, you know, as a white male in America or whatever, this was the first time that I felt like I was a one who was out of place. And that was probably something that really helped me find myself. So I really enjoyed the experiences of, you know, meeting people who had these preconceived notions of us and, you know, allowing them to see that even if some of these notions are true, I'm also still a human being and I'm still, you know, willing to talk to them and have a good time. And I'm also here to see their art and really be open to their culture. And I think that was something that a lot of people didn't expect of an American, was openness to other cultures. But when you're traveling, it feels like the greatest thing in the world to be open to these cultures and to these ideas that are completely new to you. You know, art that is so famous in America takes on a whole new light when it's in the country that you're seeing it from, because because, you know, you're really seeing it through your own eyes for the first time rather than through a lens that's been designed for us through school, or, you know, how our parents think about art, or how our nation might think about art. We're able to
even the media.
See things in new ways. Yeah, even the media has, you know, all these ideas about what art is and how art should be enjoyed. And it was so nice to just be walking around. I would spend an entire, you know, the museum would open. I would go in there with a little bit of bread and my notebook, and I would spend an entire day walking around a museum. I still couldn't see everything. But I would just take notes on the things that I saw and, you know, tried to remember. There's so much that happens in the world. There's always new things to see. And encountering these new things, that's what lets us grow. You know, that is something that might give us strength as well.
And it's going to change who you are and how you connect going forward in your life. And it's such a gift that you were able to put the book out that really captures a lot of this. I mean, that's more than anything else. I mean, I'll often say to somebody, buy this poetry book because this poetry is good and you should be reading this and learning what's going on. In your case, it's just about, listen, not only is the poetry good, but you're actually going to learn things about the world. You might even be able to connect in some ways of how yourself might need some changing, or maybe you need to go and do something similar. It doesn't have to be to a bunch of different nations around the world. It could just be a regional trip that you just haven't done before. Anything to get you out of the house is going to help.
Yes. And that was absolutely one of my goals with this book. I knew that I wanted my poems to reflect my experiences to help other people. You know, I wanted this to be a pathway for anyone who's experienced depression, any kind of suffering, even just, you know, the ways that humans struggle every day. I want to show people that, hey, you know, there's another way to live, or there's another thing to enjoy. And, you know, if people haven't had this experience, I want to show them that it's possible to find a little bit of joy, you know, like you said, and just going out of the house and looking at a tree in a new way, you know, seeing a river and really watching it move. You know, all of these are things that are incredibly important to me. And I think that as we grow up, we lose an attentiveness to nature, an attentiveness to just these little details that can be so fulfilling. And I found that when I was traveling, you know, there's so much more beyond, like you said, the museums, the tourist stuff. I was finding that these views of nature, the trees, or, you know, even just being on a train and looking out of a window was inspirational, because I was really attuned to the experiences I was having in a way that I didn't find myself having as much before I had done that.
I found older people.
And I hope that, you know, anybody who...
Okay.
And I hope that anybody who reads this book, you know, is able to experience that, or to think about, you know, why don't I skip rocks anymore? Why don't I go to a lake and just throw rocks in the water for fun? Because those experiences are still really important.
I believe you're right. And you're really capturing something that we either miss or forget, because we try to put what we think is in perspective of youth and say, oh, well, yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid, and I used to go to the camping, I used to do this, and I used to do that. But now I'm growing up right now, I'm doing some other stuff. And then that's put together and put away for a very long time. Maybe people never come back to it because they have families and marriages and jobs and all that. But who's to say that still can't be an important element of our lives? I mean, a lot of the travel that I've done when I was in my youth, I did a lot of it. When I was older, I do a lot now with my kids, and we go and see and do things. We might be able to go to Rome every day or something, or Paris, but nevertheless, we do a lot in the States to be able to show what's necessary and to broaden them, because the schools are not even the same now than when I was growing up. They don't even have art in class anymore these days, or arts and crafts, or a lot of stuff is just doesn't even be taught. So if you're not supplementing your kids really with that, they're going to go to college and they don't know anything. What's Paris? Who's Picasso? I mean, when people have to say that, it makes me want to throw up because it's like, what has been done in society, in our educational system, or even with parents, that they haven't done anything to expose these children to the rest of the world and the things that are out there? You don't stop liking or loving nature because now you're 25 years old. You have to make that as some kind of regular part of your life. And if you don't, you will become disconnected and maybe sometimes cynical.
Yeah. And, you know, while I first learned this while traveling, since being home, I found that, you know, there's always another hike, you know, wherever you live, there's a new street to walk down. There's, you know, some local artist who's doing something really interesting that you've never seen done before. So these aren't experiences that are exclusive to international travel at all. These are things that are a mindset that you can access every day in your own city, in your own town. There's someone doing something with art that you've never seen before. There's someone innovating in some way. There's a street that you haven't walked down. There's some art that you haven't noticed yet. And to me, that's something that, you know, gives every day hope. I could run into something incredibly exciting on any Tuesday.
Wow. I really like that. It's so refreshing to hear. It really is important for all of us to understand that the environment, and I don't necessarily mean the environment in some political sense that, you know, if you don't recycle everything every 5 minutes, you know, the world's going to end. We got to obviously keep it in some kind of practical perspective. But it does mean that visiting places that have historic significance or just environmental beauty, it helps us have a better connection to the world. It helps us be more creative because not everything artificial is always the most creative influence for us. Sometimes you got to have influence of things that are living, so you have a greater appreciation of how things interact in the world. And as strange as this might sound, I often feel that all of these things that we do are rehearsals for things that we might have to teach our children one day. And what are we going to be able to teach them if we haven't learned a whole lot ourselves?
Right. That's incredibly true. And, you know, very important to remember that, what we're doing right now will be the next generation's lessons. You know, I think that for a lot of people my age, nature is important, but is still not engaged with as fully as it could be. I make it a point to try and just sit down in nature and watch it for, you know, as long as I have time sometimes, and just watching birds fly and things like that. You know, these are things that we lose if we get stuck looking at screens. And I understand that, you know, everyone has we have to work, we have to have jobs and things like that. But I certainly try and balance the work that I do to become a professional person and to have a good job with time spent in nature, just watching things.
I definitely think it's important because I'm a city guy, and I felt that as much as I still love the city, and don't get me wrong, even I realized that it has limitations. And I realized later on, once I grew up and went into the military, And I've seen farms when I was in Germany, and I've seen so many things out there. You know, I've seen what they were doing in Spain. And I'd realized that my interaction with nature, or even just my experiences with nature, they were pretty much regularly getting to the park, which means that, you know, I appreciate the squirrel running around and the pigeons and a couple of cardinals here and there and some trees and some grass, and that was it. I mean, because the park was mostly benches and kid things to play with, you know, little construction blocks and swings and all that. A couple of military statues to remind people about, you know, veteran causes. And that was it. And I kept saying to myself, wow, there was just so much I lost or missed out. I mean, I had parents that were very cosmopolitan in terms of making sure I went to New York, because I'm from New Jersey, to see some of the greatest museums on earth, the American Museum of Natural History, the Museum of Art, all of that. I had all that exposure to the art. But in terms of nature, it wasn't something they were committed with, and they didn't really care. It didn't really make any sense to them, because it was more important to have an excellent command of the language and get through the school system successfully and get to see, you know, right. theater and plays and museums and dinosaurs and all that stuff. So they were very pro-educational and pro-modern city life, but they really didn't care about anything else beyond that. I had to learn that myself. So imagine going to a farm and realizing that at 19, I'd never been on one in my life before. A cow was something on TV, and milk was something I got at the supermarket. It wasn't anything real until you see it coming out of a cow. I'm like, oh my God, that's where it comes out of. So when you're from, when you're from that environment already, and you're from that rural area, those are the things you take for granted, and not realizing sometimes yourself that there's some people that don't even know where this comes from. I mean, I knew academically that milk comes from a cow, but I did not know it emotionally or visually until I actually saw it, where it made sense and it hit you in a different way. Because otherwise, it's just some white stuff in a container, and then you throw it out when you're done. That's it. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah. I can definitely relate to that, you know, maybe on a microscopic level. But when I was traveling, I was loving the city and loving being in these amazing cities. You know, some of these are the most famous cities in the world, you know, places like New York, Paris, Oslo, Hamburg. You know, these are cities with amazing museums, amazing beauty, a lot of money, a lot of great architecture. But eventually I found myself really missing nature, and I'm lucky that I grew up in a small area with enough nature around it that it was something, like you said, that I had taken for granted. And I found myself, you know, taking a train to a tiny little outpost of a town in Germany just to spend some time swimming and, you know, walking around a park and, you know, looking at trees again, because the city has so much energy and so much that it can almost be overwhelming.
It can be, and not to put anything down in terms of humans, but we have to also remember the ultimate truth. A city is about human activity, human experience. It's about humans. Well, guess what? After 20 years of being around humans and you don't know anything else, you're missing out, because trees are not human, and neither are animals. They're not human either. Neither is the wind or the sea or the sand. They're all not human, but those are experiences you still should have.
Absolutely. And I have a poem that's kind of looking at a day that I'd like to read at this point. This is Rhine Promenade 31, and this was a poem that I wrote when I finally kind of got out of the cities and got to this nature, this you know, experience of the river, the Rhine, in Germany. So here's Rhine Promenade 31. The sun will set on this very day. The peach in the sky, the lance of sunlight like a jagged candle, behind crackling glass that crosses the Rhine, will burn out. And this day you are living will be over. The rain tonight will be the tears for this day that is no more. I will hear those teardrops and know they are for this sun. And so what I found, you know, was that even time itself is changed, whether we're in a city or whether we're in nature. And that's something I hope my book can capture and show people, is, you know, the difference between time, which seems almost inaccessible in a city, and time when you're out of the city, which is so real, so much based on lightness and darkness and, you know, seeing the sun or watching the stars come out and stuff like that.
Oh, I love the concept, and it is something that it's not touched upon enough by anyone. Even I sometimes don't touch upon it as much as I should, that the passage of time is simply different in a more metropolitan area than when you're in a rural area, because the city structures things in an artificial way mainly because the city is anti-nature. It's a protection of from nature in many aspects, good and bad. When you're out there in the rural area, the passage of time is different. It seems longer if you're not looking at your watch. It seems like in many ways you're more free. And you can even get more out of your activity because you don't have all these distractions. And also, it reminds you of the beauty of nature, but also of the power of nature, because nature will tap you on your shoulders and say, I'm getting dark. You want to move on. And the city says, well, the heck with the sun. I'll just throw some artificial lights on. We're still rocking and rolling over here. So the city almost disregards the rules of nature, where nature's like, this is nature, man. I'm in charge.
Yes, absolutely. And to have this contrast at hand while traveling was incredibly important to me. You know, LA is the closest big city to me, and I've spent some time there. But to really be in a city, I think, was important. LA is very spread out compared to a place like New York or a lot of these places in Europe, in which I really felt city life for the first time. And so, you know, I love nature, and I think it's incredibly important that we all take time to find the ways that we interact with nature. But I also have to say, city life is amazing. And, you know, even the energy, even if it is artificial, even if it is, you know, created by humans for humans, it can still offer some amazing experiences. But I certainly think that, you know, as humans, our goal should be to experience what we haven't experienced. And so, you know, if you're from a city, try and see not a city. And, you know, like me, if you're from somewhere that's not quite so populated, spend some time in a city and see what you
It would be great if we had some kind of an ad hoc, like, exchange program, and where the farm kids get to see cities and the city kids get to see farms, because it'll be a great eye opener for both parties.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember taking you know, a metro for the first time, and oh my gosh, you know, so this is something that I think if you live in New York, you might do it every day. You know, taking public transportation is probably something that a lot of people see as very common, but it felt like a roller coaster the first time I was on a metro. And I, you know, when I went from underground to go up over a river, I was like, this is insane. I'm coming out of a tunnel, you know, on this speeding thing that feels like a roller coaster car. And I'm sure I looked ridiculous to the people in the city that ride it every day. I was grinning like a child. It was so great to experience that.
Well, you don't hear too many people saying how exciting the trains are, but they certainly are interesting. And I've been on so many of them around the world that, you know, I particularly like them more than flying. And I'm an Air Force guy, and I love planes, but I actually like trains a lot more than I like airplanes, mainly because I feel I can take in more with trains than I can with a plane. And also, there's more social interaction even when you're on a train. You don't get to social interact when you're on a plane because everybody's terrified of talking to each other or even moving. Where in a train, you can still do that. So to me, it's still more human, loving transportation than a plane is, because plane can be very sterile.
Yeah, planes are remarkably sterile. The flight, you know, flights and traveling are often very boring compared to taking a train somewhere. You know, you're looking out of the window, you're watching the landscape change with you. You're seeing these things adapt. You're seeing life change. You see that there are farms between the cities. You see grain growing and things like that. And that was amazing. And like you said, you meet people, you know. I met a lot of friends on trains, you know. Oh, where are you going? You know, well, I'll be ending up in Paris. Oh, I'm headed to Paris too. And, you know, I would kind of see them on the train. We would stop in a city for a while and hang out. And then I would keep going.
I
and the trains were also very,
That's how
the
you
trains
make,
were very important.
And that's really how you make travel not only worthwhile, but also make it a social experience. And I think sometimes when people do travel, they miss the social interaction because they're only going for the sights or the souvenirs or or maybe even the food. And then you find out when you talk to them later on that they never even talk to a single person from another country. It's sad.
It really is. And, you know, the amazing thing is that most places you go, people will speak a little bit of English. And that's we're so lucky to have that, you know. It's awesome to get on a train somewhere halfway around the world and, you know, people are speaking German, but if you talk to them in English or you ask them if they speak English, they'll happily talk with you, tell you about the town, you know, show you some new things, take you to some new places.
Yeah, exactly. So you shouldn't be so apprehensive about it. Like, wow, I don't have much of a command of their English or of their language, and or they don't have much of mine. There's still plenty of things that people can do and contact each other about, because the human interaction is not that really complicated. It's not hard to tell that you're a new person and you don't know much about the environment you're in at that moment. They could tell. And so right there, they sort of have a vocabulary of what you might need or what you might want to do or see, even if they don't have the words. They have the knowledge already.
Exactly. And that in and of itself is incredibly rewarding to experience this sort of, you know, they might even end up bringing a third person into the conversation to help. And you really do get to know people and to know humanity in a special way when you find that, you know, you're alone in a city, you know nothing about it, but they'll just help you. You know, people really do want the best for other people. And I think that's also something that it's easy to forget.
Yeah,
because when we're busy and thinking about ourselves.
And sometimes it's not even just that, and you're right, of course, but sometimes it goes beyond that. Sometimes it's about, I want to do my best to make contact, but I'm afraid that maybe I'm going to offend, or I'm afraid that maybe they're going to turn me down, or I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that.
Right.
If you let the fear get the best of you,
you're already
curtailing your knowledge and your trip in many ways, because you're not going to do all the things that you should be doing to get the most out of that trip. I mean, if you think about it, when people do go someplace, especially if it's far away, they might not ever get a chance to do that again for a long time or maybe forever. So why not make everything that's there count?
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. You know, it's so easy for humans to cut themselves off before they've even started, before they've even opened themselves up to the possibility of succeeding at something. And I think it was really important to realize that, you know, basically people want to help each other and we want to show each other the world. We want to offer each other these experiences and have them with each other.
And we should, because they help shape a lot of who we are, and they also help sometimes shape in the future how we make contact or how we might even involve ourselves with the other culture. You know, it's so hard for a country to want to start a war with another country. If they spent enough time learning about each other, there might be a pause to say, why don't I give them the benefit for a moment rather than launching this? Because I had some great times with these folks and I had some good interactions. Maybe there's something we're missing here. That's all it takes, is enough pause that will prevent you from doing something stupid, because you've had enough of a foundation to know that, sure, they're different, but it doesn't mean they're the enemy.
Right. That's really, really important. I hadn't even thought about that. You know, I think it's likely that traveling would lead to a better understanding of other places, and that would certainly reduce war and, you know, just the conflicts that we see. That might be, you know, less necessary if we took the time to talk to other people and, you know, find out that anywhere.
Yeah, I think it really does help.
It really does. And what really impressed itself upon me was just the way that even returning home, there was this newfound sort of empathy I had, you know, both for my existence, but also for the people around me. And I just had a whole new perspective on the ways that we live in this world. And that is something that I wouldn't I couldn't trade anything for.
No,
it's incredibly important to be able to have that.
It'll stay with you. It really does. I know all my travels, even years later, still help inform me about a great thing, aware of things out there. And then if I can, you know, follow it up with, you know, contact with people from there, which I have. I still have friends for many years. And, of course, things that happen in those countries, it gives me a better appreciation of what they're dealing with and how even they interact with us. And even on the creative level, it allows you to have a foundation that's real and that you can go forward with. It doesn't really leave you if you don't let it.
Right. Yes, absolutely. The memories will last forever, and the experiences, the changes in your personality are permanent and effective and really helpful. I certainly value them. You know, one of the best experiences of my life, and I'm so glad that I can convey it, and also that I was able to bring it home and really show the people around me everything that is offered by, you know, this mindset, because this mindset helped me, you know, interact with my parents better, helped me interact with my friends and find people in new ways and create new art. All of these things are so valuable. So, you know, the problems that you have in your home can be solved by, you know, going somewhere and experiencing something new.
Now, and, I know that you have learned from this and you have seen in yourself the changes. Did your friends and family, when you got back, did they notice the difference?
I think they did. You know, my parents certainly reflected upon it. And actually, my best friend had a child. And, you know, I remember getting a FaceTime call in Europe and coming back home 2 weeks later and seeing a baby. And I was just amazed. I, you know, that in and of itself is a life change experience. And so it was so great to encounter that and realize, wow, you know, it really is the humans. It really is the connections that we have in our lives that are so worthwhile. And absolutely, people noticed that I was, you know, more interactive, but also doing things in new ways and taking new chances. And I see that in myself, and other people saw it too.
Well, I would like to believe, ideally, that when people do the kind of travel that you do, that there are changes and there are things that can happen to them for the good, that inspires growth and brings on new experience and maybe even some inner understanding. But some of this also is the individual too. I mean, you're very special that way, and you've taken a great deal from that. Quite frankly, some people don't even learn this their entire life. So that really makes you unique.
Well, thank you.
As a creator and as an individual. You would hope that we can somehow mimeograph the Hugh Cook experience into people, because it would be wonderful if they all gained some of that insight. But unfortunately, that's not the way people or the world works.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, that's okay. I think travel, it would be great for certainly if more people could learn about themselves like that. But I think that, you know, every individual might get something from travel. And I'm glad I got what I received from my traveling.
We are glad too, because we got a great book out of it as well, and a wonderfully and interesting interview. Yeah. Not one you're going to hear anywhere else or even on this show, because it's tailored to the individual and their unique experiences. And no one's had these kind of experiences from anyone I've talked to. And although they all, you know, secretly admit that travel can be a real inspirational, you know, engine to go and explore themselves and the world, because that's really what it is. It's a inspirational engine if you allow it to be that way, and don't stop it from going to where it needs to go. That sometimes that's not easy for people, because some people don't feel that they need to change or they want to change. But change is growth, and growth is more understanding. And the more understanding that we are, I believe the more creative we can be.
Absolutely. I think that life is a period of, you know, continual growth. I hope that I'm always growing. I would love to, you know, I think constantly be changing is one of the best ways to be human and one of the best ways to be learning more about ourselves. And, you know, as far as taking that growth and bringing it back, I have one more poem I'd like to share.
Yes, please.
And this is from Home Part 2. And this is sort of, this is a poem reflecting on the changes that I had experienced in seeing myself in a new way. This is called Concrete Ponds. When a fish with a twisted spine breaches, thick lips first search alien air. The lack of food sinks in. The line of light becomes a sine wave along the pond's shore. I am reminded that the water lilies I see now have crossed the depth of this wave with me when we float into non-existence. I wonder about the edges, the corners and turns that created the moment that pulled me into a weeping bundle of all the things we don't think when we get these moments of joy. And I think that poem really sort of sums up the reflection that I hope to offer to both myself and to others as a pathway for growth and a pathway to get beyond whatever walls might be stopping you at the moment. There really are experiences out there that can change them.
There really are. And if we're going to title anything on a show, it'd be travel as a spiritual experience, or travel as a mechanism for inner growth, or even travel as a way to be more creative. Those are all true sentiments of what we've learned here on the show and what people will learn from the book. But I believe that the book is more than just travel, people, and it's more than just poetry. This book is also about a young man becoming a mature man. And you could tell from the beginning to end that that actually has happened. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because I was just having an interview with someone recently where we had talked about the fact that women tend to mature faster than men, because if they have bodies and they have things in the creation of a woman that's more complex than men, and makes them mature faster, and they see the world more real than men do. We tend to take a lot more time to grow and to grow up, because we don't have as many challenges. We're pretty simple creatures. And women are not simple creatures. They're pretty complex at times. And but you have gone faster and farther than most young men your age. And so that's an enormous compliment. And that certainly is a great sign for society. And maybe it's a great sign for your future partner. They're going to get somebody that they don't have to work too much on.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that means a lot. I'm honored to hear that. Yeah.
Well, we're honored to have you on the show and to bring about something that's so new and so interesting. And this is your first project, folks. This is his first project. And we're talking about deep things that I usually talk about with people who've done like 10 books. So it's truly incredible. Even I take it for granted at times, but I got to remind myself, this is a young guy. He's not even finished college yet. And he talks better than some of these professors. So it's an incredible experience for myself, and something that is rewarding and enriching. I'm hoping my children will have something similar, because I have younger children still that are not even in high school yet. So I'll be excited for them to learn as I try to do my best to guide them. But I wanted to thank you so much for being on this show. Folks, do not forget The Day It Became a Circle, an incredible poetry book, an incredible travel book. In many ways, it reads like a back-ended memoir. It's a true creative inspiration on a number of levels. You can get it at Amazon and Kobo, and you can get it on Barnes and Noble. It's an electronic book, but it's very priced well. But it's easy to download. You can get it at AfterworldBooks.com. That's where it's published from. But it's out there. People are picking it up, and hopefully more people will see and learn about this, and you can go on forward in whatever next exciting thing you're going to do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mark.
You take care, and God bless.
I will. Same to you.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.